one another and watch our time up here, when I get too lengthy, I could probably speak for an hour myself, but I won't do that. We want to hear from as many as we can. Now, if we don't complete today the testimonies, we will have to consider maybe next week, or we'll work that out and let you know for sure how that'll work. So as we begin this morning, I'm going to share first, then Kenny and John has something to share as well, and then we will open it up to others and to come and testify. Our heart is to honor the Lord. That would be our brother's heart. We know that. Okay, I will begin. October 1st, 1972, 50 years ago, on October, this coming October 1st, there was a day of infamy in my life, an epoch-making day. I heard our brother Stephen share that vision in his heart that he had been given from the Lord with us all. And that vision was our Lord Jesus Christ in his fullness. Christ, the head, and the Lord, the church, his body. I had never seen such a thing in my whole life. And honestly, that was a life-altering day in my life, personally. And I will never forget it. And it set a course in my life that I had not known before. And so I am so thankful that our brother was faithful in his ministry. You know, Paul also said, I did not hold back in sharing with you the whole counsel of God. And certainly that was a testimony of our brother's life to us all. He did not hold back in sharing the whole counsel of God, and so thankful. I remember a few also very specific incidents in my own life that touched me so deeply and actually changed me. And one I've shared before, that was at a conference at the University of Richmond in those very early days, those first conferences at the university. I was at the lunch with my brother Stephen, and we were talking about some of the issues and matters at the conference, and another young man came up to him and said, "Look, I would like to know, are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you a pastor? Are you a teacher? Who are you?" And our brother looked at him and said, "I'm a brother." And boy, I'll tell you what, that touched me so deeply and has stayed with me all these years, because I saw the humility of Christ in a man. And brothers and sisters, that was our brother. It also gave me a great appreciation of what it meant to be a brother. You know, we do honor those that are over us, and the apostles that the Lord has given us, and the prophets the Lord has given us. But to be a brother, that's the great thing. To be a brother or sister in the Lord. Other incident that happened that meant so much to me personally was I guess it was a few meetings later after that October 1st meeting. And I had come, and I was sitting on the first row in Llewellyn Miller's little garage there. Maybe had 20 or 30 chairs. And Brother Stephen was speaking, and I fell asleep. And not only did I fall asleep, but I kind of leaned forward too much and was falling out of the chair. So I gathered myself together, and after he finished speaking, I went to apologize to him. He said, "You needed to sleep." Such a precious, gracious brother he was to us all. With that, I'll let Kenny come and share.
Thank you, Jared.
So we both have known Brother Kong in October, 50 years, quite a long time, I think the longest in the room that we've known him. And there's a few verses that are on my heart that I think speak of the man and his ministry. I'd like to share those few thoughts. If you don't understand what the Lord does in a heart, you'll never understand Brother Kong and his burden for the eternal purpose. His burden, as Jerry mentioned, the full counsel of God. But here is an illuminating verse, or a couple verses I'll read to begin with. This is in 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. And this is what set our dear brother apart. "For if you should have 10,000 instructors," I want you to notice what Paul wrote when he said 10,000 instructors in Christ, "yet not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the glad tidings. I entreat you, therefore, be my imitators." Now, this is a striking comment. As a matter of fact, one person, Brother Edwards, in his commentary, he called this an emphatic contrast. And it's quite the contrast. Paul is saying, think about it, you have 10,000 teachers. Now, different versions put it different ways. If you have 10,000 teachers, or though you have 10,000 instructors or teachers, you have not many fathers, or some say one father. I think that set him apart. Now, please understand me. I am not diminishing teaching. I think biblical teaching is of utmost importance. But there's a distinction here drawn by the man himself that gives a window into understanding the man. He was to the Corinthians a father. He was more than a gifted teacher. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, he listed a few of the gifted teachers that Corinth had. He said, "Some say I'm of Paul, and others say I am of Apollos, and others say I am of Cephas." Cephas, of course, is Peter. I think you know that. But here, could you have better teachers than that? You couldn't. I just think we would take one of them. Give us Peter. Give us Apollos. Give us Paul. You know, Paul, many people don't even realize, there's 27 books in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 of those books. Now, if my math is correct, that's almost half of the New Testament. He was among the many teachers. But there was a distinguishing mark that set him apart, and that distinguishing mark was, "I am your father. I have birthed you through the gospel to Jesus Christ." That set him apart. Our brother Kong was a father to us. He was literally like a father to me. Sandra and me, brother and sister, you know that. Our parents died in their 50s, both of our parents. Our mother was 57. Our father was 59. So Stephen was literally like a father to me. But he was much more than just like a natural father. He was literally a spiritual father. And the assembly in Richmond would not be here today were it not for Brother Kong's ministry. in those early years Jerry was talking about. He would come down from New York even before we met him in 69 and go to Lou Ellen's home in the West End on Waveney Road. And then later when they moved to Midlothian and we came in 72, he would come down from Washington, D.C. Brother Katz is on the line. We would go up and visit Brother Katz and Stephen and Mary and hear wonderful things. He would come three times. Once a month, every month, three times. He would share three times the ministry of the word. He indeed was a father to me, to us. Let me read the verse again. For if indeed you should have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the glad tidings. I entreat you, therefore, be my imitators. There's a difference between a teacher and a father. A father is responsible for your birth. A father is one who nurtures you and takes care of you and raises you and has a special ministry over your well-being. I don't demean teachers. Paul was probably the greatest biblical teacher that ever lived, but he was much more than that. He was a father. And I believe that's what Brother Kong was to us. It set him apart. And if you see what I'm saying, it defined the man. That's who he was. How he nurtured, how he opened the Bible, how he made us see Christ in everything, how he helped us, how he corrected us. I remember a funny story. Those of us young brothers, I was 21, by the way. Jerry's the old guy. He was 29, 8 years older. And we were once joshing in the kitchen at the old meeting place. And Stephen walked up to us and he said in his most stern voice, "Every idle word." That was enough. The father had spoken. We stopped joshing, and we've never forgotten that one admonition. So I want to share that with you. There's another thing about Stephen I'd like to share. And these verses I've shared with you before, but they have the same ending. And to give a window into the man. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Remember your leaders who have spoken to you the word of God. Considering their conversation. Again, I've told you that's manner of life. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. And the King James Version says, and forever. He was not only a father. He was a true leader. Now, brothers and sisters, this leader taught us the word of God. But there was much more about this leader that was significant. He not only spoke the word, he lived the word. And he was a manifestation of the word. And that's precisely what the writer of Hebrews is getting at. He embodied that word and lived that word. And because he lived that word, he was a leader that you should follow. Now, Stephen was absolutely clear. He never thought we should follow him. You remember Paul said, I think it throws people, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 or 2, it throws people. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Don't ever forget the last phrase. This is what Brother Kong did. This was his burden for us as a father, as a leader. And those things set him apart. Then I thought of one more thing I just wanted to leave with you. One more verse. I saw this in everything Brother Kong did. I remember when he gave those messages on 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. It changed the assembly here. It opened us up to see something marvelous of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 11:23, these are Paul's uttered words about the Corinthians, but they were Stephen's heart for the house of God. It says, "For I am jealous as to you with a jealousy which is of God. I have espoused you unto one man to present you a chaste virgin to Christ. And then that following sentence, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craft, so your thoughts should be corrupted from the simplicity as to the Christ. This was our brother's goal in everything he did. It was to bring us to Christ, to espouse us to Christ. We are a bride in waiting for Christ, to know him and to love him and to see him as our end and our all. He never wavered from that goal. So what do you think of Brother Kong? What do you think of him? What did you see? You remember when Jesus said of John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? One in delicate clothing? What did you see? I see a father. God's heart. A father. I see a leader who lived what he spoke. And I see a man with an unwavering passion to bring us to Christ alone. He never wanted to be seen. He never cared to be seen. He never was the object. He always made the object Christ. These three things set our brother apart. And we are grateful that we have known him, been in fellowship with him, and have grown because of his nurturing.
You know, our lives have many days and many activities, and they're quite huge. You know, this room is huge, and if I had anything to say, Brother Kong's life would fill this room over many times. But I have one thing I want to say, and he used this term, and we've all come to see it. It's the message and the messenger. How important. The message is very important, but the messenger is more important. It's what the messenger has to say. Is the message shown in the messenger's life? And I'm thankful that the Lord found a man that he could use in Stephen Kong. And what can I say? You know, Stephen Kong was naturally a very gifted man. He was very, very capable. He went, when he came to the country, one of the first things he did was translate The Spiritual Man, which in his three volumes is 750 pages. And old Herb Fader edited it for him. So it was a story that started with that. And then he wanted to publish it. And he went to the publishing houses and said, well, what can we get here? How can I do this? And they said, well, we're going to do this and do that for you and then give you a couple percent. You know, he said, I wasn't going to do that. So he established a business, a whole business. He's a very capable man, very capable. I've known a lot of men that thought they were very capable. They're fooling themselves, but our brother was capable. But by the grace of God, Stephen Kong was able to lay down that natural ability, and God was able to use him as a vessel. This messenger died to himself, and God was able to fill him with the Holy Spirit. Lance Lambert told us, these brothers remember that, Brother Kong is a spiritual man. I've never heard anybody say that about anybody else. But he was full of the Holy Spirit. And we all got to see Christ in him. So he's left behind these messages that he did that are great testimony of Christ, and that was his message, the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He never lifted himself up. You'd go to him with a question or a problem, and what was his common answer? You seek the Lord. You seek the Lord. Never gave me an answer. Helpful, but the centrality of Jesus Christ. And just a couple of verses, Ephesians 1:10, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. Christ was everything to him. What an example for us. Keep going back to that. And then there's another passage up here that we've had on the wall, Colossians 1:18. That in all things he might have preeminence. I'm just thankful that the messenger was able to lay his life down and to deny himself, take up the cross, and God used him. And bless me, and might we remember that message that he gave to us, the preeminence of Christ.
Is it okay for somebody to share on Zoom?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. This is Steve Sheridan, for those that don't know. And I'm going to give you a very quick twofer. And the reason for that is because many of you know I'm up here in isolated state of Vermont. And the Lord has blessed Lisa and I in being able to meet and gather with a few precious saints up here. And we gather once a week. And what we predominantly have done is, similar to what the sisters do on Tuesday, we have fellowshipped around different transcripts, messages by brothers. And mostly a brother comes. And when I found out we were going to have this meeting, I sent an email to them and I said, well, we're going to have this. If any of you are interested and can make it, you know, and want to share about Brother Kong's teachings and his person, let me know. Well, none of them were able to meet, but one brother did send me a response and said, I can't make it, but I've got a few words to share. And so he sent them to me. I printed them out. I'll read them to you. But I said I'd give you a twofer. And the twofer is, I'm going to just briefly say that, and Jerry kind of said this already in the beginning. I remember still the first day I met Brother Kong back in the very early 80s. I don't have quite the history some of you brothers have. But Frank Lipsey took me over. Dear Brother Frank Lissy took me over to meet Stephen at his house. And when I went in there, and you talk about sitting down with a couple of quiet brothers. That was interesting. But I so saw the humility of Christ in our Brother Kong that day. He was so gracious. I remember he gave me a copy of The Spiritual Man. And I went out of there feeling like I was on the top of the world, you know. But anyway, this brother, his name is Richard Lewis, and I think I've mentioned him to a couple of you down there, but this is what he had to say. And Rich is, I'll give you a little background of Rich. He grew up in New York, but he spent most of his time in Vermont, and Rich is He's about 71 years old. He's been a believer for decades. He told me he was saved when he was only 10 years old. And so anyway, this is what he had to say. I'm sending along a few dear thoughts about Stephen Kong, whom I have met through his writings, books, and videos that I have seen and listened to. What an incredible teacher of God's word and disciple of Jesus. I so appreciate his adherence to the word of God. And he put adherence to the word of God in bold print. and his clearness and transparency in tackling the more difficult and deeper subject matters in understanding God's design for mankind and what man's responsibilities and positions are in relation to his design, if we are only willing. I believe that my coming into meeting with Stephen Kong through his writings and videos was ordained by God. His teachings and challenges, along with the intense focus on God's word, has made a large and deep lasting impact in my life and relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My prayer is that I will be able to pass these spiritual truths along to others effectively, and he put in parens, through the Holy Spirit's help, even a fraction of how Stephen Kong has been used to impact my life. And he ended it by saying, "Thank you, Jesus."
I was saved in 1970 in the Fan. I was living in the Fan. And I started searching for a place to meet. In January that of 71, Judy, who's Llewellyn's niece, took me to the home in Richmond to hear Stephen. We were both from Southampton County, Judy and I, and also Llewellyn. I continued to look for a place to worship. I was told about a job in the D.C. area, and I moved. I got the job. The school was just opening. I got the job and moved to D.C., and it was a little late, September 1971. Judy came and took me to the Katz's home. Stephen moved from New York either that month or October, I believe, of 71. So the first visit, he was coming from New York. So the fellowship consisted of, now I'm from Southampton County, Virginia, myself, Dick Katz, Jewish, and eight Chinese people, including Stephen and Mary Kong. So I really thank God for that mercy toward me and being able to so quickly, you know, the first book we studied was Spiritual Authority. Okay, if you look back over the looking from God's point of view for the 20th century. Stephen was born in 1915, I believe. That is very significant for this past century. Think about it. Think about the Jesus movement in America just about the time that Stephen came. He came here right before that. You needed the ministry of Stephen Kong was needed greatly at that time. So throughout the 20th century, think of the impact internationally, what God did in gathering people all over the world together in different places, because as the brothers have said, he cared. It wasn't about Stephen Kong. It wasn't about being tremendous prophetic ministry, writing books like Key to Revelation. It was about God's desire to have corporate vision of the church in this and what he was doing in the century before the return of the Lord. I think one word describes, Stephen to us was the grace of God. God has been so merciful to us. When I think of my life outside of the ministry, you know, God preparing this vessel, and all of us, it's the same thing. The Lord, and another thing about the gifted thing, I want to make a comment because I thought about that. You know, Stephen didn't sit around waiting for the Lord to put some gifts in him. He was from day one, I think, from what I understand, diligent. Even in college, how he said, he knelt down by the bed in the dorm and let the students walk around him. From the day one, Stephen invested everything he had in serving the God that he loved with all of his heart, his mind, his strength, everything he had. Just to say that, yes, he was gifted, but those gifts can only be really given and fully utilized in a person who has laid down their life for Jesus Christ. And that is what he did. He laid down his life for the Lord. This is the grace of God to us. And I'm sorry if I sound like I'm preaching or something. But anyway, I cannot express the gratitude to God for what he has done for us, because he found a vessel, an epic-making vessel. Thank you.
My name is Herb. I was privileged to actually serve with Stephen and Dora and a couple other brothers at the publishing house for a few years. Until you see somebody day to day, you don't really know them. Some of y'all know, but might not know, that I am very cheap. Cheap, tight. It's awful. This week I was in the woods cutting wood, and a branch came across and flipped my hat and flipped my glasses. And I mean in the woods. And the glasses I were wearing were gold frames. That's the color of leaves. They weren't expensive, but I got all shook up. Man, Lord, just got these glasses. I said, Lord, let me find these glasses. I didn't find them. I brought Janine out in the woods, but she didn't find them. Praying over this silly pair of glasses. Well, I went back the next day. It poured down rain the night before. I went out the next evening, went out, walked to where I was, and went, there they are. I was holding on too tight to the value of something that didn't matter. And that's, at one point when I was with them, I needed a truck. And it was expensive. And Stephen and Dora knew my propensity to be cheap. And they prayed with us. Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And finally, Stephen, and this is all I'm going to say. I'm going to stop after I say this little sentence. He said, brother, you hold on too tight.
Dear brothers and sisters, recently I was reading Brother Kong's book on Isaiah, and he said God will apprehend some of his people and set them as a watchman of the church. God will lift them to higher ground in the heavenlies, when most of God's people are living on lower ground, as it were, in touch with the world. In such close mixture with the earth, God calls some of them to rise up. At the beginning of the pandemic, when saints were not able to be gathered in person, there was a burden that we as brothers and sisters needed to stand together with one another to share our burdens, our experience, and pray via virtual meeting. And we pray regularly during weekdays for individual, family, church, nation, and the world. Brother Kong shared occasionally a few words, and he prayed. He reminded us that we need to be a separated people from the world, living and dining for him. We are his representatives on earth. The world wants to conquer us. May the Lord Jesus release his people that we may stand with him in these last days. And he also reminds us family is the building block of the church. God's will and his purpose will be fulfilled in the family. However, family has drifted so far from God's heart. May we repent and return to God's purpose for the family. And church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. The body and the head are one. Church is the wife of the Lord. She is in union with Christ and manifests the characters and the natures of Christ. She is heavenly. The purpose of church is to uplift and proclaim the Lord Jesus to the world. However, the church is no longer one today. The church becomes earthly. We must repent and return to what God has meant for the church to be for his beloved Son. May the Lord revive and reveal himself, the natures and the characters of the church to us. May the Lord restore his church to his original position. We need the cross to work in our hearts. And for the nation, he reminds us we are supposed to be a Christian nation. This is not in reality. We are doing our own things, and we have become far from his purpose. It's important to repent and return and consider before the Lord what we are and what we should be. For our many sins, these we must repent. We must go back to the original and beginning, and this will take us on with him and be the nation that belongs to God. Unless the nation returns to the Lord, there is no hope. And the world belongs to God. The world is Jesus Christ. The world is where God revealed his Son through his church. God brought his Son into the world that the world would be saved. Now there is such a tremendous conflict between God and his enemy. We need to stand with God in these days for his purpose. And the world will return to God for his beloved Son's sake. May the church not be enticed by the world, but be the expression of Christ. We feel that Brother Kong was a watchman raised up by the Lord. He encouraged us to see as the Lord sees. He interceded, and he told us to intercede for the Lord's people, the Lord's family, the Lord's church, a nation, the world. We thank our Lord Jesus for giving Brother Kong as a gift to the church. That is the love of Lord Jesus. May all praises center upon the Lamb, upon the throne, our Lord Jesus.
Hi, my name is Marcia. We lived in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. It was 1975, and it was a very dry and thirsty land. We had fellowship with a few people that at the time were in Baptist churches and other denominations, and Glenn and I really hungered and thirsted for the Lord. Well, it happened, and now we can look back on it, and I'm sure every one of us can, and realize how God has ordered our steps. And I remember reading in a recently in a pamphlet written by Brother Kong, and it was on the coming of the Lord, how we can look back and see how God ordered our steps, but the Lord looks forward and orders them. And so at this time, we were eating dinner with a person who was advising Glenn on insurance. And this young man said, "Why don't you come with us? There's a meeting tonight at one of our friends' houses, and a brother's going to speak." So, you know, we were interested in going and went, and it was Brother Kong. And I see now how he labored so hard in many, many places and saw little fruit. But he continued to labor, praying that God would bring those whom he had his heart on to the Lord. So Glenn and I were completely captivated by what was being shared. And we had never heard anything like this before. I want to just read a passage of scripture. This is from the book of Ruth. And I don't know if there is actually a transcript on this, but you all probably recall that Naomi had sent Ruth to the threshing floor to lie at the feet of Boaz to make known that he had the right of redemption. And I'll read a few verses. Boaz said when he awoke, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy nearer kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I." Let me go back. So, you know, the next scene we have is Boaz and the elders at the city gate, and he and the nearer kinsman are talking. And he says to the nearer kinsman, "And I thought to advise thee, saying, buy this land that was Ahimelech's, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it." And Brother Kong asked this question. He said, "Who is this near kinsman?" And at that point, Glenn and I were on the edge of our seats. It was like, who is it? You know, I don't know who it is. It doesn't say right here. And Brother Kong said, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak after the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, redeemed those under the law. And I thought, Lord, I have never forgotten that verse, that though I was lost and full of sin and trying to do it myself and being a good person, it was the Lord Jesus who brought me to himself, who cleansed me from sin, and that the law could not do it. So I just wanted to share that briefly, and also something rather light, because I didn't ever see Brother Kong laugh very hard, very much. So after he taught at that individual's house, two of the sisters were going to drive him to the airport in Raleigh and ask me if I'd like to ride with them. And I thought, I just want to get every morsel I can get. So I found someone to babysit our little children and rode with them. And the sisters really plummeted the questions on him. And one of the questions was, well, Brother Kong, what do you think of women ministers? I mean, you know, it was like they were trying to pin him on every issue. And he gave a very wise answer. And then they said, well, Marcia, what do you think? And I thought, you know, when you are young in the Lord, you are bold, and you don't even know it. And I said, well, it's kind of hard for a woman to be the husband of one wife. And that's when Brother Kong broke loose. Anyway, he laughed really hard, and I didn't mean to be funny. I don't think they understood my answer. But anyway, thank you.
And I'm Marcia's husband, Glenn. I just wanted to add some context to our time with Stephen, just to show the Lord's character in that man, because that's what we're looking for today. And I would like to start out with Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. So, when we were in Rocky Mount, 1975, the context was the charismatic movement. Gail mentioned the Jesus movement, but the charismatic movement at that time was kind of sweeping across the country. People were leaving organized churches and were finding life in fellowship groups much like this one. So when our brother came, actually his meetings were advertised in the Rocky Mount newspaper. They may have called him Reverend Kong, I don't remember. We'll be speaking at so-and-so's house, all are invited. So we went that first night, and the living room was packed. It was a huge house, big cathedral ceiling. There must have been 30 or 40 chairs in addition to all the sofas and easy chairs and whatnot. And on the front row were four pastors. And what I remember, Stephen gave the message, and then there was a question and answer period. And this is where I saw the character of Christ. You have to think, charismatic movement, people were leaving organized churches in droves because they weren't finding life in those churches. But they were finding life in these fellowship groups. So that's where we found life. We had this Monday evening Bible study with these saints. And dear hearts, what these people would say, we get so much out of these Monday meetings. We're not getting anything like this on Sunday morning. But they wouldn't leave their churches. Well, many of them did, okay? And house churches were kind of flourishing. And these pastors came that night and were not very pleasant to our brother in the question and answer period. I remember that. I don't remember the specific questions that they asked, but they were really hard on him and pressed him for answers about New Testament church and about the gifts of the Spirit and about what he'd said in the book of Ruth and so on and so forth. Think of the fruits of the Spirit. Christian character, the possession and manifestation of nine graces that we all know: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. When you look at our brother's life, he had such peace. That inward state of character that was so close to the Lord, as has been shared. But I looked up what is really meant by goodness in that phrase, in those listing of the graces. The character and expression towards man is what is defined as goodness. Temperance was the character and expression towards God. But he answered those pastors, each one of their questions, one by one, with such humility, such meekness, such grace, such depth of knowledge. Eventually, saints, one by one, they stopped asking. And our brother was just so gracious and explaining the love of the Lord again to the whole group in such a loving, loving way. So when you look at that sum total of who our brother was in the Lord, think of that, not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And then in John 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And our brother was one who clearly, clearly showed us much fruit in his life. As far as those pastors are concerned, I don't think they ever came back. Or if they did, they didn't say another word. They just sat and listened like the rest of us and were so blessed by our dear brother.
Enoch was trying to get up here.
Shortly after Sister Mary had passed away, there was a period that people were concerned about Brother Kong, whether he could take care of himself or not. Therefore, when Brother Kong visited different places, brothers and sisters were prepared lots of food for him to take home. Usually, Brother Kong would turn down their offer, but these brethren were able to find another channel to accomplish their goal through Brother Kong's driver. That was my assignment at that time. And I would dutifully bring all the food back to Richmond. So when we were on the road, people would look for Enoch for the purpose of unloading their food. So it looks like that I was a popular guy. So I told Brother Kong about what was happening. I said, Brother Kong, these people are not welcoming me. I'm just a donkey. But they are welcoming you. because you're their speaker. And Brother Kong replied, you know, if you were a donkey, then I am the blanket on the donkey. Our brother is a very humble servant with a sense of humor. I was blessed to have a mother who will pray, will remember me in her prayer all her life. When she passed away, I felt empty. What am I going to do now? So I returned from my mother's funeral and shared my misery with Brother Kong. I said, who is going to pray for me now? Brother Kong responded without hesitation, I can. Oh, his words almost literally floored me. I did not know there was someone who would care for me that much. One morning, Sister Dora had a doctor's appointment. Apparently, the procedure was delayed. Soon, it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I suggest to Brother Kong, let's go get something to eat first. He agreed. So we decided to get something simple so we can quickly return to the doctor's office. We ended up eating at McDonald's. Yeah. Now, you may have taken Brother Kong to different restaurants, but I bet never to a McDonald's. So that day, I was so proud that I was able to bring my buddy to McDonald's. Although Brother Kong is way above me spiritually, but I always remember him as a down-to-earth friend.
Be short, John. When I was praying about a scripture or something to share this morning, out of all the years of knowing Brother Kong, it was really difficult. But the scripture that came to me was in Philippians 1:21. It's Paul's words saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, that struck me because that's exactly what our brother did. He lived Christ, not only lived for Christ, he lived Christ. He lived Christ in every way that you can imagine. He lived Christ. And so that really struck me. And then I thought, I have the perfect prayer that, to me, displays who Brother Kong is. Now, you older brethren will recognize this prayer right away. Maybe the younger ones won't. But if I break down and misunderstood, please forgive me. But it says, now think about Brother Kong as I read these words. Let me love and not be respected. Let me serve and not be rewarded. Let me labor and not be remembered. Let me suffer and not be regarded. 'Tis the pouring, not the drinking. 'Tis the breaking, not the keeping. A life suffering to seek others' blessing. A life loving and true comfort giving. Not expecting pity and concern. Not accepting solace and applause. Even lonely, even forgotten, even wordless, even forsaken. tears and blood my price for the righteous crown shall be, losing all my cost for a faithful pilgrim's life. 'Tis the life, O Lord, that you chose to live in those days when on earth you walked, gladly suffering all injuries and loss, so that all might draw near in repose. I cannot see how much further I shall go. Still I press on, knowing there is no return. Let me follow your pattern, so perfect and true, bearing ingratitudes without complaint. In this time of trial, O Lord, I pray that you'll wipe all my hidden tears away. Let me learn, O Lord, you are my reward. Let me others blessings all my day. That was our brother Watchman Nee, who Brother Kong served with in those early years. The first time I read this prayer, has been, of course, a number of years ago, many years ago. The reality of what the Lord was after in his people, in the church, was this very thing. The very character of Christ you just read in this prayer that Watchman Nee made. And this is Brother Kong's prayer. It's always been his prayer. It is Christ and him alone. He was willing to suffer anything. So when I read that, and it really touched me and began the reality of a hunger to have such a character. Now, we hear about many prayers conformed to the image of Christ. Well, this is exactly what it means to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is in some ways, it's a difficult journey, but it's a joyful one also. You experience Christ in such a way that it produces a joy, but it is much suffering that these brothers have gone through to come to this place where they can say, it's not me, it's Christ. So I just feel that, you know, we need to remember Brother Kong in his willingness to lay down everything, not just part of it, everything, which meant much suffering, much dealing of the Lord, but he left such a testimony and such a legacy to us to not only follow that, because he was following Christ. So anyway, I have been touched so many times by even this prayer and many others that we see displayed in these brothers, from beginning with Watchman Nee and others, but especially with our brother Kong, as we've been among him these many years. So anyway, just wanted to especially share that prayer.
This morning, to let others have an opportunity. Any 10 minutes most?
Yeah.
So,
I'd like to encourage also, any of y'all that may be from out of town, have something to share, please do it. Because
we want you to have an opportunity as well. But any others, please come.
He's come this one, you know, Dick Katz on Zoom has known him longer than all of us in this room. And we might, if Dick would like to share, I want him to feel free to share. You go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, everyone. My name is Kumar. This is the third week I have been coming to this fellowship, and it is my heart filled with joy to be part of this fellowship. I know you all might share about Brother Kong for hours by hearing your testimonies about him, the experiences you have. It is really joyful, but I want to share about Kong from a man's perspective who never met him, right? I never heard about Brother Kong until March 2022. And this is when we decided to move to Richmond, and from Michigan to Richmond, and we want to come here. And my wife's dear friends from Lynchburg suggested her. There is a great fellowship led by Stephen Kong in Richmond. And when she suggested this, my wife suggested this fellowship to me, I was skeptical when I heard about this. I was thinking many things. The community might be different. We are coming from Indian community, and I was praying to God, if it is a different community, how can it be? Because I have been saved in 2018. I was relatively young when I, in terms of coming to Christ and knowing about Him. And how can I adjust to all of the different things, right? But God started speaking with me. Why are you thinking like that? Are you confining yourself to your own community, Indian community? Are you not ready to open up yourself? Are you confining Jesus Christ to your own thinking, to your own understanding, right? All these things, when God started speaking with me, then I started to research about this church in a skeptical manner as well. But when I come here and see and received all of your love and your warmth welcome, and also the teaching I got in the last 3 weeks, and the word of God, how God is using this church to feed me, especially spiritually, right? Now, even without meeting Stephen Kong, Brother Stephen Kong, I can say God has purposefully planned this even before I know Jesus Christ for me, right? I can testify that. I know most of you can testify about Brother Kong, but without knowing him, I just want to testify. And listening to your all of your testimonies sitting there, God is convicting me. Why don't you go and testify this? It is glorifying God's name even without knowing this brother. You are getting fed by the word of God. It is the word that God has done through Brother Stephen Kong that I'm sitting here and receiving his God's word and nourishing my spiritual life, right? So I really want to praise God and thank God and glorify his name for the work he has done through Brother Kong. And I apologize if I had spoken anything wrong from the bottom of my heart, but today my heart filled with joy for the work that God has done through Brother Stephen Kong. Praise the Lord.
Dick Katz, did you want to say anything or no?
One more here.
Yeah, we'll just try.
Brother Katz?
He's not on anymore.
He's not on.
He was on, he's not on anymore.
Okay, he's on the road.
Sister, come on.
I don't know whether I should share because we came here today. We didn't know it's a testimony day today. So we came here, then Brother Enoch and Sister Marsha told me. And last night I was even praying. I said, and this morning on the way here, my heart was just filled with joy. And how Brother Kong impact my life, as brothers and sisters shared. There's so many. But I want to share two attributes I see in our dear brother. One is humility. And back in 2010, that conference, I didn't go, but I listened to their ministry. And my heart was so touched by his word. He said we needed the blood of Jesus every moment. When I heard that, I said, if a brother said so, how much I need that? So since that time, I have to say, I don't know how many moments, countless moments, I need that. I prayed to God, said God reminded me all the time with brother's precious words, we need the blood of Jesus all the time, every moment, for everything we do. That's his humility. Really, that statement, I don't know how many times that words helped me going through many trials. And the second one, I said, I want to share about his faithfulness. We just heard Galatians 2:20 about, you know, his words. It just touched my heart so much. But I want to share, a couple of weeks ago, I was on vacation. And that night, 11 p.m., I just turned on my computer. This YouTube video, and Dora, I'm not trying to put it on the spot, but it is the video, have your picture there. I just clicked on it. It was happened to be sharing our sister had with her, a group of sisters in Australia. So it was almost one and a half hour. And it was our sister sharing with other sisters to encourage them. I didn't realize at the beginning our brother was sitting beside our sister, but until the moment I see Sister Dora just turn her head, and apparently she was talking with, checking with Brother Kong. And in the end, you know, they asked to see Brother Kong, so the camera was turned to him. I couldn't hold my tears when I see that picture of our dear brother, sister, sitting together for 1.5 hour to give testimony, to encourage brothers, sisters in Christ. And a word came to my heart is faithfulness. Our brother did serve the Lord faithfully, and what an encouragement to all of us. I offered a prayer and to our Lord. We know that our brother always wants the Lord to draw our attention to our Jesus. Indeed, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I really want to give praise to you. Who am I? And I got the privilege to see this faithful life on earth. And what encouragement to us all to be your followers. And praise the Lord. Thank you.
Ben, did you want to? Y'all came all the way from out of town. Do you want to say something?
I came to listen, but if you allow me, maybe I'll say something.
Say something. We'll let you be the last, y'all. I just notified Ben and Mita last night. And they came from Carolina to be with us.
Yeah, this absolutely. Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's a joy to be here. And I didn't come here to prepare to say anything about Brother Kong. Our purpose was, first of all, we felt delighted that you invited us to come. We're like, great. And just wanted to come and listen. And I can tell you that, dear saints, you feel sorry that Brother Kong is no longer with us here with you week to week basis. I can already see there are so many saints right here who shared their testimonies and the impact that Brother Kong had in their lives. That encourages me. The sisters who have shared, the brothers who have shared, the testimony is of the Lord Jesus is absolutely wonderful here at the Richmond Fellowship. And also this young brother, Kumar, who shared, encourages me. Young people who have been impacted. I feel like that the Lord isn't done with the Richmond Fellowship. There's many, many more years of fruitful ministry here. I just feel compelled to say that. That just because Brother Kong's not here, the testimony, the lampstand, continues to remain. It's not departed. It's here. And, you know, we've been going to the Richmond Conference for as long as, you know, Sean's been with us, been born more than 20 years now. And I remember the first time we had to move from the Richmond Conference, Richmond University, to the Farmville. That itself, the elders and the leading brothers and sisters felt so, it was such an, it took it very hard because they felt like after many years, the Lord was I mean, what's happening? We can't have this conference at Richmond University anymore. But then when the Lord opened the door at the Farm Bill, Longwood University, that ministry continued. And I strongly feel, I believe, that as long as the Lord delays his coming, the testimony of the Lord will continue to shine brightly here. That's all I had to say. And one prayer request. So we're taking Sean to Biola University. So we leave on Wednesday, and we'll go drop him off. And then four of us will go, and three of us will return to Raleigh. So pray for him. Pray for us. Appreciate it.
So, Brother Jerry, just a question. Last question. What did Brother Stephen ask us in the last several ministries every time? What was it?
Are you prepared?
Okay. Let me share something from Mike Manns, who was with us in the very beginning, too, is in Bowling Green now. I won't share it all, but I'll share part of it. He said, I don't know where I would be, or even if I would be, had the Lord not given me time with Brother Stephen. He was so different from all the pastors and preachers that I had known. He didn't want to be called pastor, just Stephen or brother. However, I did notice a presence I hadn't really noticed around many servants. It was something more than him. I am so thankful that I met that something more. I have never been the same, not perfect, of course, but excited, hopeful, searching, waiting, and in touch with Jesus in a way that is close up and personal. To remember my dear brother Stephen only makes me worship our precious Lord more, for giving him such love and vision and hope, which he so loved to share with us. We have been so blessed. That was Mike, our brother Mike. Just one other real short story, because it just reinforces the character that the Lord was able to show us through our brother. I remember us young brothers being together with Stephen. I'm not quite remember the subject we were, or matter we were discussing. But of course, we wanted to hear his thoughts on it. And Stephen looked at us and he said, I need to hear from you, brothers. He said, I need you to balance me. Whew. I'll never forget that. I need you to balance me. A man of such spiritual stature and wisdom. You look at what, still in our 20s, maybe early 30s at that point. And he said, I need you to balance me. Wow. It'd take a lot of people to balance our brother, I think. But anyway, such a precious gift that the Lord gave us. And we're so thankful. Now, before we end, I'm getting that right now. Are there others that have things on their heart about our brother that we'd like to share? Because we need to know if we should continue this again next week. We know we're going to have a baptism and one or two testimonies, and we could have some more testimonies at that time. Yeah, we got a number. So maybe we'll talk about a little more and let you know for sure, but maybe next week when we give the testimony before baptism, we could follow that up with a few more, okay? All right, we're going to close. Lord, it's always good, Lord, when you're able to reveal yourself through vessels of clay. It just glorifies who you are, Lord Jesus. And we are so thankful, personally I am, I know we are, for the years that we've had with our brother. Lord, a precious jewel that we'll never forget. Lord, we just ask now that we might walk on. As Kenny said, he is one whom we can follow after. Lord, we just do want to, this morning, rededicate even our own lives to following you, to be an expression of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.